The following programming is sponsored by Thomas Tool III. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon, Greater Philadelphia area. This is Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. And we've got a special guest, Harry Lilly, here with U.S. Health Advisors. We'll introduce him next. Sarah and I both work at the Tom Tool Sales Group, the number one REMAX team in Pennsylvania since 2018. And we are going to be talking about, this is like our election special, right? So, and it's not so much about what's going to happen today. It's what's going to happen afterwards for the housing market, what agents should be focusing on afterwards. And we've got Harry here. He's going to talk about the open enrollment period for health insurance, which is a stressful time for a lot of folks. And he's got a lot of great advice here. And he's worked with a lot of people that we mutually know, as well as folks at our organization. So if you get some value out of this, you'll like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the channel, hit the bell for notifications. And if you want to schedule a call with our team and Sarah specifically, you can do that with the link in the comments. So question for you guys, how many text messages have you gotten about your polling station today? This has been insane to me, and we're going somewhere with this, but give me an idea how inundated you've been with election
I would say stuff. Like, for the last week and a half, maybe, every day, at least, I don't know, like 7 to 10 texts.
Okay.
And then today, there were also quite a few calls.
The calls with the 2-minute long voicemails.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the calls that I got were real people.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, I did vote this morning, but I didn't, like, pre-vote. So, or, like, I didn't vote, like, in advance. So, I was happy to be able to tell them when they called today, like, yes, I did vote, you know. But they were, I was kind of surprised they were real people that were calling today.
Yeah, it's been pretty fascinating because I don't remember getting like this many like calls or texts or anything else before. And the reason we're talking about this is that what a lot of people have forgotten, there's a Fed meeting this week, right? So the Federal Reserve is going to meet right afterwards. There's a lot of questions about what happens with the market afterwards. And, you know, a lot of agents, we're going to talk about this in our second segment, that there's this like paralysis around like, oh, the election's here. And then you got like Thanksgiving afterwards, and you got like the holidays. And in our business, I think it's really easy for like people just to write off the last 2 months of the year.
Yeah.
Your face says it all. So what I want to chat about is like, what do you think happens after the election? And let me give you some perspective here. So the CME Group, they got their Fed Watch tool. So there's a 97.4% chance we're going to see a 25 basis point cut later this week at the Fed meeting. I know there's some data out there about what happens after elections. We've seen inventory rise a little bit, Sarah. So how do you think the rest of the year plays out once this election is over, whether it's today or the next couple days or whenever they declare a winner?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think until they declare a winner, people are going to, well, depending. I mean, some people are pretty invested in it and others, you know, are kind of going about their normal daily life. So I think once we do get a result here, people can kind of move on and go about, you know, go about things. Because it is, you know, there certainly is like a large group that I feel like are kind of like, I can't do anything until we see how this plays out. Yeah,
they're frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think it won't take too long post result for people to kind of get back in the swing of things.
I tend to agree. Harry, do you see this in your industry? You're in health insurance. So I think, I mean, obviously it's a little more seasonal than real estate. And real estate's very seasonal, by the way. Like, do you feel people are like a little paralyzed right now? Like, what are you hearing?
Yeah, they're a little nervous about spending money.
Okay.
And making changes. You know, most people we deal with are making a change from a plan to a plan.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really bringing anybody from nothing to a plan. So yeah, they're nervous about, okay, let me just see what's going on. Let me see what's going on. We always want to stress, you know, save money any time of the year, regardless of what the pending election or whatnot. But yeah, we do see that. This is the first full week of open enrollment. The numbers on our division are a little down. And I think it's just kind of today. It's a, today's
how long
a big deal.
Does it, how long is open enrollment for?
November 1st through January 15th.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so I would imagine that
our,
maybe it would
our
be
biggest
people.
Week company wide is the first week of December.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Our biggest week. You know, numbers.
This guy knows his numbers. I mean, I love that. Agents, take notice. Harry knows when his busiest weeks are. That's what you should be doing in any business. So I love that. So I think we can all agree there's like some hesitation in the market, right, and whatever people are doing. So, you know, and we know this Fed meeting's coming up. That's going to be a factor because rates did jump up to 7% last week. They're still a point less than where they were last year, but higher than where they were earlier. Housing Wire had an article that came out. This was pretty interesting, and you always got to be careful putting this stuff out there, but it was about loan officers, and it said here that a lot of loan officers, what they're telling people, so that these are when they're getting a mortgage, is control what we can control with the election anxiety. And the mood amongst most of the loan officers, and this comes from the chief sales officer at U-Mortgage, is a cautious excitement to get the election behind us finally. Is that kind of what you're seeing? I mean, because you're out there with clients every day. You have listings coming into the market and there's things happening. So I don't know that it's totally freezing everything up. Is that something you're talking to clients about? What do you take this piece of advice for, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there certainly is a level of, you know, wanting it to be done. I know for some of my clients that are maybe a little bit more invested in what happens, there was also leading up to now, I think there was maybe a little extra on their plate for supporting their parties and wanting to like get the word out to vote. I think there was, I definitely do have some clients that are a little bit more involved in everything. So there was a lead up there of, you know, doing the things and getting word out and
doing more legwork. The election.
Yeah.
Now after today, it's all, I mean, the legwork's
right.
done.
The legwork's done.
Right.
So now it's, let's see what happens next. But I think absolutely there is going to be, something off of their plates that has been on there.
Sure. Sure. Well, and I tend to agree. And there's some data out there that shows that 7 out of the past 8 presidential elections, prices went up, which I think, you know, prices are going to keep going up, right? So we also saw that it was 9 out of the past 11 elections, the number of home sales went up. And we're coming off the lowest level since 1995 right now of home sales. So there's a couple things that I'm optimistic about as we head into the election. And you're looking at just inventory. Let's start there. So there was an article that Lance Lambert put out. 8 states are back above pre-pandemic levels. And then there's a few that are like right on the cusp, meaning of available homes. And he has a whole chart here. And then so it's like Texas, Tennessee, Arizona, Colorado, Oklahoma, Utah, Idaho. And then you've got Oregon, Alabama, and Washington close behind. And no surprise, like the bottom of this is like the Northeast. I think that's not shocking to a lot of people. So it looks like we're starting to see inventory come up. So that would be in line with that trend. And what we're also, you know, expected to see happen is that rates are going to calm down a little bit and that we're going to see, you know, even if you look at like what happened like this week locally in our market, we saw the number of in the November 2024 jobs report. And Lisa Sturtevant, she's the chief economist for Bright. She came out and said that even though with these jobs getting added, that that rates are probably going to come down. She cited the Fed meeting coming up, and really the only thing that would happen is if the labor market softens, which I'm still pretty skeptical about that jobs report. I don't know what you guys think about that, because, I mean, they revised it by like 30% in August, and then they're coming out with these huge numbers. We've also been hiring some people lately. We've got a transaction coordinator we hired. The talent on the street is – we had 5 people that did the job. Like, that's not normal. So – it looks like that I think everything's going to kind of calm down here once we get past this. What do you think, Sarah? I mean, do you think we're going to see lower rates after the election, or at least after the first of the year? Like, what's your analysis?
Yeah, so I think it looks as though after the Fed meeting, we should have, you know, a little bit of a tick down. I think we're going to see it. I don't expect any large drops or like huge, you know, rises and falls here. I think we're going to be doing a little bit of like a steady downtick. Always with that, there's little hiccups in there where numbers jump up a little bit, but I think we're going to be down in the mid sixes.
I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, that's kind of what I see happening. So then there's another piece to this. So remember Notorious Rob? We talked about him last week and like real estate antitrust and all that stuff with this lawsuit. So he put together an article on the first, and I'm going to give you a couple quotes here. I want to get your guys' reaction. So the first was, he said that nobody knows anything about what's going to happen after the election. What do you think about that? From like the antitrust, like DOJ, real estate lawsuit perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think there could be a little bit of, it may depend on who wins for how things go there. And for what pushback and what proceed to move forward and what happens there.
Okay. So what he said was that neither candidate have any antitrust. Like, it's not an issue in their campaigns. And none of the people running have any kind of real background in antitrust. And only one of the two candidates has a track record. So it's all like speculation. I guess that's where he's coming from. I do agree. There could be some influence here for sure. And you got to look at like who's involved. Then what he talked about is that there's this back and forth between NAR and the DOJ, and that with that back and forth, because the original settlement got repealed after a decision was signed off on prior to the last election, that could be something that might be on the table again, depending on who wins. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know that this is the top of either candidate's priorities, right? Like, I think they've got a lot of other stuff ahead of it, but that certainly from a trickle-down effect, whoever is the one who is the next president, could swing which direction it goes when they get to it.
Okay. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, there's probably a half a dozen things in front of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would hope so. I mean, yeah. I don't know if that's the... And so I hope that's the case for both candidates, whoever wins, because that's not good for the country. So then what he went on to say was that you're probably going to get the status quo with Vice President Harris, because she was part of the last administration. And she said that he also said there's going to be some institutional factors here, because if you look at, even though former President Trump was in office before, he's going to have some different people on his cabinet this time. It's just not going to be the same, right? So it's going to be a lot different. I mean, just to look at the VP candidate. So basically what he said here is that don't expect any sort of left or right turn from the DOJ after the election, no matter who wins. What do you think about that?
I would agree with that in the immediate time frame after, there's a lot of other, this isn't top of the list for them, I don't think.
I also agree with that, and I think it's something that maybe will come up, but this may go to the Supreme Court. There's a whole bunch of things happening. So I wouldn't be holding my breath if I'm an agent. That's my point. I think The policy that gets decided here, if it goes the other way, that's great.
Everything takes so much time. So even if on day one, this was this is my top priority.
Take to the end of next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything takes time.
I agree. So, looking at all of this stuff here, and that we've got the Fed meeting coming up, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion we're going to see the 25 basis point cut.
Yeah.
We've got inventory rising. We've got, the jobs report is going to be something that gets monitored pretty closely. You're thinking rates are going to go into the 6.5 range. I tend to agree. I think that's best case where they'll be first quarter. Prices, sounds like we're in agreement, they're not going to go down. Anything about sales? I mean, I see sales hopefully picking up, but I mean, that's going to be a function of inventory more than anything else.
Yeah, I'd say that's going to be a function of inventory, and it's going to be there are transactions occur during this last push of the year, mm-hmm. right? So it tends to be your more motivated individuals that have a real reason to move, or just the timing is when it needs to be now.
Well, that leads me to my question. I mean, I've always heard and never been in the real estate industry, but a lot of people want to have their move done well before Christmas. They want to be in and settled, or wait until mid-January.
Right. So it could be but they could get still under contract during that time. Right. I don't think there's too many people that want to be actually moving.
Right. Physically moving.
Right.
Moving,
but you can still get, it's a good time to, what a way to wrap up the end of the year, being we're under contract and now we're just waiting for the settlement date.
Have the last Christmas at the old house, moving, et cetera.
And then there's
situation is.
Right. And then depending on what both sides, the buyers, the sellers, sometimes you do have to end up moving during not an ideal time, but mm-hmm. it is worth it for the deal to go through, right? So while nobody probably wants to be moving that week, it can happen. And certainly there's a lot of deals that get under contract between now and the end of the year.
Well, and you got to think about some of these listings, like they're vacant homes. Like they're not, there's no one living in the property, right? So that, I mean, I would probably about a third of the homes we sell are vacant at some point. So that's one thing to consider. The second thing you're looking at is that just because you settled in doesn't mean you're moving in then. I mean, the amount of work that gets done to a home. So there's some opportunity there. And, you know, some people may have like tax purposes. They need to, if it's like an investment property or they're doing like a 1031 exchange. So those things are all happening. And what I anticipate here is that we're going to see normally like November, you kind of get this run up until like right around Thanksgiving. Then people slow down a little bit, and we're going to talk about what agents should be doing at the next segment during these last 2 months post-election, and I've got some clear strategies there. But I'm with you, Sarah. I see some opportunity here once this is over, just so people can kind of stop focusing on it, because, I mean, people are up in arms about this election. Like, this has probably been the most hotly contested election. I've never seen so many reactions from people. Like, people are irritated. They're angry. Like, everyone's just worked up, right? No matter what side you're on. A lot of people aren't happy right now. So it's that's all that we're saying.
That's the common thread amongst everyone. Yes. Unhappy.
Everybody's just not really in a good mood.
Well, it's you look at all this stuff. I think the reality is life's going to go on after this, and all these trends we're talking about, inventory rising, rates, I think I still don't believe this jobs report. It just doesn't feel right. And we've already seen them revise it by 800,000 jobs in August of last year. So I'm looking at all this stuff. This is nothing new that we've been talking. These are all the trends we've been talking about for months now.
Mm-hmm. And even if, like, regardless of which party takes office, day one doesn't mean all the things that they've said that they are going to do happen, right? Like, it's...
you have to the House and the Senate. And, you know, day one's... That's why they call it the first 100 days.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Well said. So I wouldn't change your outlook on the market. I think a lot of this stuff's going to follow the trends that we have, and this is like a pause, right? Or it's like the halftime show. It's kind of like that. So keep that in mind if you're a consumer. And really, I think this demonstrates all the more reason to like have like a strategy session or a planning meeting with an agent. I mean, how many times are you having to kind of dispute some of these like fallacies in the market, especially these past like 3-4 months? Mm-hmm. Is that a common thing that's happening to you right now, Sarah?
Yeah, and I would say, depending on the person and the situation, for some people, the concerns and based, you know, around the election and stuff popped up months ago, some of them even before that. And then others, it was just kind of like as we were getting closer, like now it's like a factor or something that they want to see that plays out. I think being able to actually have those conversations and be able to do, like, whether it's a buyer or seller, but like the consult and actually like, what are your concerns? And let's figure out, you know, let me tell you about what we've actually seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what we found is, I mean, we role play these objections all the time because they're really just questions about buying a home. Like, because anyone that's going to buy a home, it's not going to be dependent who wins the presidential election. They're going to buy because they got something going on in their life, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're listening and you fall into that bucket,
it's like a celebrity is not going to tell you who to vote for.
Yeah, I mean, right. Were you on the Parkway last night? Is that what I'm hearing, Harry? So,
I
didn't think so. Yes, I'm right there with you. But the point, like, this is going to be a pause, but you're still going to move at some point. Like, your kids don't get smaller. Like these things don't happen. So if you fall into that bucket, what I'm clear on is the most savvy home buyers and home sellers, no matter what your time frame is, you're planning in advance. So you're not just like scrambling at the last minute when you want to make a decision. And we role play these objections all the time. And the people that are positioned well are having like planning meetings and strategy sessions and sitting down with agents, understanding what's going on in the market. So that's real. If you fall into that bucket, just get some information that's going to actually be help you make a good decision here. I think that's a good place to leave this here with the noise of the election. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what agents should be doing post-election. I've got a couple strategies here. And then we're going to talk about open enrollment and health insurance with Harry Lilly, super insurance expert. You're giving your cell phone number out on the radio. Is this what I heard here? You told me that's the best way to reach out to people?
I'm about as old school as they get, Tom.
Okay, all right. So
I don't have a computer in front of me. I got my notebook.
So Harry Sell, we're going to put it out there. It's 484-554-4989. He's with UL's Health Advisors. We are going to talk more about him in the third segment here next on Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.
For the best local mortgage service and great rates on your money, look no further than Mortgage America. We've been operating in the greater Philadelphia area for 40 years with a focus on smooth, easy access to home purchasing. Whether you're a first-time buyer, upsizing or downsizing, or just refinancing, we have programs for you. We also have closing cost assistance programs and access to subsidized interest rates. Pre-approval is free, no costs or commitments. To learn more, visit our website at mymortgageamerica.com. Or give us a call at 610-439-8000. We always have a person available to take your call with around-the-clock human service. Purchase your home with the personalized, local service you find at Mortgage America.
Mortgage America is an equal housing lender. NMLS 128501.
The Tom Tool Sales Group is the number one REMAX team in Pennsylvania with over $165 million in volume for 2021. I'm Tom Tool, and our team has achieved that kind of success by being a great place to work with and to work for. No one knows Greater Philly better than we do. We know real estate, but more importantly, we're real people. We hire the best agents and we give them all the tools to succeed. Even our brand new agents sell 17 to 24 homes a year because our team delivers the best experience in real estate. Teams deliver a better experience than individuals, and we're a top 1% real estate team in the country. We call it AAA service. We're your advocate, ally, and advisor. Because this isn't a transaction to us. It's a relationship. If you're buying or selling a home, call the Tom Tool Sales Group at REMAX Main Line at 610-692-6976 or visit TomTool.com. That's Tom, Tool with an E, .com. Sell your home for more and remember the real estate golden rule. You always get more when you work with Tom Tool.
When you're getting a mortgage, you shouldn't have to sacrifice great service just to get a great rate. At Mortgage America, we've been lending with this philosophy for over 35 years. We have access to great low rates without the complications and delays of big or online banks. We're a local Pennsylvania lender with loan officers that you can actually meet. As PHFA's number one lender, we specialize in all residential mortgage programs, including first-time buyer programs and low-down payment options. For your free pre-approval, call us at 610-439-8000 or apply online at mymortgageamerica.com.
Mortgage America is equal housing lender, NMLS 1.
Have you considered a career in real estate? Do you want control over your income? Whether you have a license or not, call us today at 610-692-6976 or visit TomTool.com. Join our team, the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline.
Welcome back to Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. He's Harry Lilly. He's a home insurance or health insurance savant with U.S. Health Advisors. You can call Harry on his cell phone, 484-554-4989, if you need to take advantage of open enrollment. We'll talk all about that in our third segment. But next, we are in our election special here on Tool Time Real Estate Radio, and we're going to be talking about what agents should be doing post-election. The homeowners I'm less concerned about. I'm concerned about some agents right now. I don't know if you're feeling the same way. I think there's this mindset of, like, the year's over, there's all these excuses, and you see this every single year.
I think that's kind of regardless of election year or not. Like, maybe this jump started it a little bit earlier, but you kind of see that happen coming up now anyway.
It happens all the time. And, you know, historically, you will see agents that actually, like, and I'm not saying they're not working, but it's very easy in this business to focus on being, like, busy versus productive. Mm-hmm. And the agents that typically have a big first quarter with sales, they do all the lead indicator work, all the calls, all the follow-ups, everything else in the fourth quarter. And yeah, if you look at, like, Andrew Carnegie said this, and I think it's such a great quote, is that, you know, profits and sales, they come in waves, right? So you got to be in position to catch the next wave. So, Sarah, what are you doing in the fourth quarter? Like, I heard you jamming on the phone today.
Yep.
We got a business plan in place for you.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about what your fourth quarter plan is and what you're doing post-election, because the election's over, at least the voting portion of it today. What are you doing here?
Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, just conversations and follow-up, and there's stuff that you have to do every day to kind of position yourself to be in front of clients and to be able to get out and go to showings and get to appointments. So it's kind of just the same as, I don't think that my stuff really changes for what time of year it is. It just, the results that you may get could be a little bit different, or okay, like, you know, how quickly people get back to you, or like, but my, I don't like have a different strategy for the fourth quarter than I do for the first quarter.
Well, that's a smart businesswoman right there, because you shouldn't have a different strategy. It's like, it's really like the daily and weekly actions. Like when we sat down and did your business plan, it was like, all right, here's what to do every, it was like, were you surprised how simple we made it? Like, I mean, like explain a little bit about that. And you've been doing this obviously a long time now, but
yeah,
you know, sometimes you got to, you know, go like overly simple to get big results.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it was just kind of like honing in on making sure that I do a couple things consistently, rather than try to pull from too many places or have too many different like things that I'm trying to do. Right.
Smart.
So, and that works better for me, I think, kind of keeping it down to like, do this and just, but do it, you know? So I was happy that it wasn't a like very complicated plan.
but you know why it's not complicated? Because you've put the work in to understand how to give an appointment, how to ask the right questions. Like some agents, they just, they wing everything.
Yeah.
You've got the basics down. So now it's, let's get really focused on the stuff that's going to make you money. Harry, do you run into this when you're business planning? Because your business is not that different in the client acquisition phase. It's just you're doing, it's a different service you're providing. And it's something that people need that stresses them out. So I think it's actually very similar.
Without a doubt. I mean, back to, you and I had this conversation before. There's prime times to call people.
Mm-hmm.
Prime times not to call people. But you got to make the phone calls. And we'll have agents and, you know, just, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Focus on two or three things.
Mm-hmm.
And set a time apart each day to do those. And we always find that 7th to 8th to 9th touch, when I say touch, email, text, phone call, follow-up, is when you finally get the policy,
mm-hmm,
submit the application.
Shocking.
Right. You know, and it's one call closes are unheard of. I mean,
right,
they will happen, especially this time of year, because people will wait till the end. But you're right. They're no different. Really, our way of contacting a lead, making the phone calls, handling objections. But back to what you just said, and you had just said about keeping it simple. You know, what are your strengths? You know, everybody's got to pick up the phone in our business. Everybody got to pick up the phone in your business. If that's not even a strength, you're not going to be, you know, contracted with us. That's
right.
Just, you know, it's just not going to work.
Right.
If your strength is networking, go network.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, don't network, not work.
Yeah.
Not work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but right, focus on your strength and strengths and narrow down on them. And that's, and do them daily.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing comes by accident in our business. And you know, we write business all year long, and you know, you're only as busy as you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm a big proponent in that. And when we talk about like simplifying the plan, I think it's really easy to get confused. Like you see all these things, you're like, I'm going to do all this stuff, but there's really like a few things that work, and you know, the more you focus on that, the better. So for agents right now, I've got like a 3-pronged plan that can, and it, not everyone's going to be in your spot where you've got a lot of momentum. I think some people are like, I got to sell some houses now. And you probably see it in your business as well, where they fall into that, like, oh, the election's here. No one's going to be buying. No one buys during Thanksgiving.
Today.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm having cold people all day today. I mean, if they're voting, they're voting. I mean, whatever. So There's three things here. So one we already hit on is have a business plan in place. So, Sarah, I'm going to put you on the spot here. How simple is your plan? Because I'm clear the best plans are simple and like one page. So walk through what we did. Because I think you were surprised how we were able to really like focus it.
Yeah. So we kind of leaded with like, where do you want to be at the end of next year? So how many, and then kind of broke it down backwards from there. Like, what's your average, you know, price point, whatever. So how many deals do you need to do, and like, where are they going to come from? And then backtracked it further to like, okay, well, how would we get that many deals with this group,
yep,
or like out of this pocket or this bucket? And then, all right, so we need to talk to them, you know, and kind of just coming up with like, all right, so then on a weekly basis, you need to talk to this many people. You need to do these things. And mm-hmm, it was really 3 or 4 things.
And they were all tied to math. Like, there was numbers. And then, remember, so we did this, and I think this was actually the best thing for you. And this has worked for a lot of other people. We have like a paper tracker, right? Like, what is my weekly business plan? And literally just like ticking off, like making sure you have it.
We have a map of life.
Yeah. So, but I think that really clicked for you because there's all this like tech out there and we have like tracking software and all sorts of stuff. And that you need that stuff. I'm not saying you don't need business intelligence software, but that may not work for you as an agent, which is a little different.
Yeah.
So, so basically you have a game plan for every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have more guidance now than maybe you did 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I printed off my business plan.
Hell yeah.
I hung it up in my cubicle. So that's cool. I didn't do that last year. So, you know, this year already did it.
Well, having your goals up and visual this is a basic business plan like that. And sometimes you hear that stuff and you're like, oh, this is BS, right? I don't need to do this. But now it's like, it's looking at you. You know, and you evolve as a business person. So I love that. So business plan would be the first thing an agent should be doing postal. If you don't have a business plan or you haven't started working on it, like, I mean, the year's going to be over like pretty quickly here, right? So that would be number one. The second is I put micro goals. And that means like not trying to do everything for 12 months in the next 30 days, like really chunking it down. So for both you guys, because I'm really glad you're here today, Harry, because of the stuff, it applies to everything. What success have you had chunking down your goals? Especially like the end of the year, like what can I do between now and like New Year's, right? Like have you guys ever done that before, like giving yourself like a little challenge or anything like that? Like I know a lot of agents, they'll call everyone they've sold a home to the next 60 days because it's a great time just to say thank you. So yeah. And anything that you have any sort of like micro goals, or have you ever done that in the past?
So, I mean, I think starting my like implementing the business plan for next year, this year, like with the time that's left this year, so that when, you know, we're up and running into next year, it's already something I'm doing. Like, it's not like, all right, let's wait until I've got a plan. I'll start you in January, you know, like kind of, I guess, just implementing those touches starting now.
Love it. I think that's a great place to start, right? You have your weekly and monthly plan. So why wait? Like, what's that going to benefit you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, same here. I mean, there's only 2 months left. I mean, really, I know what I want to do in the next 2 months. I know that. But open enrollment doesn't end until January 15th. Our doors don't shut January 16th.
Right.
So you keep on going and going. And I know what I'm going to do starting in February because it's already worked before.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's on the, you know, I wouldn't call it the back burner, but that's already in place. Okay. I want to hit this number by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I come short, this rolls right into January. I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
So and then my goals in the 2025 are already in place.
Mm-hmm.
We do basically a quarter out.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a big fan of the 90-day process.
Right.
Like you got to have those quarterly benchmarks because then you can still adjust. Like if like the first quarter doesn't go well, you got three quarters left, right? There's a lot of time, and I think that's really important.
It's like the Eagles, we haven't scored in the first quarter until what, this past game, and you know we're still all right.
There's a lot to learn from the Eagles because of the negativity surrounding that team right now. I think people have just, in general, if you're more positive about your plan, it might help you. I think they're talking about that down the hall, actually, on the Fanatic. But if you're not watching and tracking, you can't adjust, right? But this is a great time of year to say, hey, I want to get all this done between now and the end of the year, because so many people are going to be like, you got like the holiday parties, right? Like you've got a daughter, I've got kids. There's so much stuff that goes on during the holidays that they got time off now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have school today? Our kids don't have school today.
Maddie only goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay, so she doesn't have school today every Tuesday. But like our kids don't have school. Like just all this stuff you got to figure out. And if you don't have like a clear, hey, here's what I'm trying to get done, then it's real easy for like these extra days off to kind of intrude on your schedule.
One day off, 2 days behind.
100%. The last thing here are short-term bets with people that are in the same business as you. So this is great for real estate agents. I think it could probably work as well for you, Harry. I don't know if you ever did anything like this before. So I had a coach. His name's you met Bill Pipes, right? So I was coaching with him a while ago, and we had started in November. And he said, how many listings can you take in the month of December? You know what people's answer usually is? Zero. I'm not doing anything. Like I said, I can take 15. So this is all going on all through December. This was a couple years before we started working together. It was 2017 going into 2018. And I was only focused on that. And if I lost, and this is the most interesting part, is I had to write a check out to an agent within our firm that has not been very nice to me and saying, like, you're a great agent. I really appreciate you. You're a role model. And I'll leave it there. And it was, you know,
Is that agent still with us?
I'm not going to answer anything else about this agent for a lot of reasons. I'll tell you off air gladly, Sarah.
Okay.
It was a 4-figure check. So it's not like this is, and that doesn't include the decimal points. So it's not, you know, chump change here. So doing that, I was pretty motivated to, and I ended up taking 17 listings in the month of December. I got the last one signed New Year's Eve at the person's house when a lot of people, they just kind of mailed it in. And that created such momentum. And none of them hit the market in December, by the way. They all hit the market in January. Yeah. And it was like, whoa, what's going on here? I mean, imagine if you took 17 listings in a month, what that would do for your business.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
But I was still able to take time off. I had kids then. It wasn't like I didn't have any kids or anything.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to really ramp up your business, and it doesn't have to be that number. That was the number that worked for me. If you can do that and do something like that, I think it could really change your business if you want to like really ramp things up. And it doesn't have to be listings taken. It could be, I want to go on X amount of appointments or when you think of numbers, like what's the biggest number in your business? For me, it was always listings taken. That's what I was looking at. But I mean, you might have something different.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like I am getting heavier on listings, but it probably would be more off of like retaining new clients. And I guess now with the procedures being what they are, having clients that sign the buyer agency.
I love that.
And then actually taking them out for showings.
What? So yours is like contract sign. It's the same thing, right? Yeah. Or it could be, hey, I need this many new agency agreements, and it could be a little of both. But it's a very clear, like, either do it or you don't, mm-hmm. which I think is really important in this business because you can't, like, almost sell a house.
Right.
I've almost sold a bunch of houses, yeah. but you know what? That doesn't do me any good.
Do
and it doesn't do the client any good either, yeah. by the way. So that three-pronged strategy between now and the end of the year, I'm clear, would set any agent or really any salesperson up for success. Anything else you guys would recommend?
Like, in our business, we always look at AV, annualized volume.
Okay.
Which is, like, a $500 premium times 12, $6,000 AV. So if we want to inspire someone, hey, you're this close. We have, our company gives out milestones. Okay. You know, you need to write $100,000 AV in 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're coming close to that and they're $30,000 behind, we owe $30,000 of AV behind or whatever. We show, and so, hey, look, if you submit 5 applications this week, we'll give you a little bonus or something like nature. On a bigger size window, you know, 2 months to go on open enrollment, 2 months to go in the end of the year. If you want to hit, you know, 200,000 AV, which is possible in open enrollment, you know, companies, you're not going to get paid, but that's an incentive for you to strive for.
Right.
This is what you have to do. There's so many phone calls you can make, so many apps you got to submit, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that's whatever it is, you got to have a number in your head.
You got to have a number in your head.
Because if you're not having a number, like it's like more, that could be one more, right? It doesn't do anything. And you know what the funny thing about all this stuff is? How many times you heard me say this? We spend a fair amount of time together. Like, this isn't anything new for you, Harry. It's all the same stuff. So
trackable and measurable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he said earlier, numbers, the numbers are the numbers are the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, the point is that, like, we all know we need to do this stuff, so don't let the election, like, throw you off your game. Don't let the holidays throw you off your game, because the holidays are, like, I celebrate Christmas, like 2-3 days, right? Mm-hmm. You got Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the day after. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving's what, like a weekend? I mean, there's plenty of time left
Wednesday
here.
Afternoon, Thursday, Friday, and then you're back to work.
Yeah, I mean, there's not that much time that's coming off, so there's an opportunity to be very productive, and you can usually get people on the phone, because everyone else is taken off, so there's, like, an opportunity here, too, so... Hopefully agents can get something out of this for our election special here on Tool Time Real Estate Radio. We're going to come right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about open enrollment and how Harry can help you and just give you some advice, because health insurance, if you don't know about it, to me, it's very confusing. So we'll be right back on Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.
You shouldn't have to deal with all the red tape when getting your mortgage from a big or online bank. At Mortgage America, we have access to big bank money, but with the personalized and detailed service of a local bank. We are here in your community and ready to serve with fast settlements, low down payment options, and first-time homebuyer programs. Pre-approval is free, no costs or commitments. For more information, visit our website at mymortgageamerica.com or give us a call at 610-439-8000.
Mortgage America is an equal housing lender. NMLS 128501.
I'm Tom Tool of the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline. If you're thinking of becoming a real estate agent in the greater Philly area, I have a special offer for you. Our team did $165 million of volume in 2021, making us the number one RE/MAX team in Pennsylvania and a top 1% team nationally. Our agents love us because we offer them a successful career, a great life, and an unbeatable culture. Agents who've been with us for at least a year average 30-plus sales. Even our brand-new agents average 17 to 24 sales a year. We offer proven systems and expert training. We help you set more appointments and sell more houses. Now here's the offer. If you don't have a real estate license yet, we offer real estate scholarships so you can get one for free. Check it out at realestatescholarshipprogram.com or visit the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline at tomtool.com. That's tomtool.com. Get more out of your real estate career and remember the real estate golden rule. You always get more when you work with Tom Tool.
When you're getting a mortgage, you shouldn't have to sacrifice great service just to get a great rate. At Mortgage America, we've been lending with this philosophy for over 35 years. We have access to great low rates without the complications and delays of big or online banks. We're a local Pennsylvania lender with loan officers that you can actually meet. As PHFA's number one lender, we specialize in all residential mortgage programs, including first-time buyer programs and low down payment options. For your free pre-approval, call us at 610-439-8000 or apply online at mymortgageamerica.com.
Mortgage America is equal housing lender, NMLS 128501.
Have you considered a career in real estate? Do you want control over your income? Whether you have a license or not, call us today at 610-692-6976 or visit tomtool.com. Join our team, the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline.
All right, all right. Welcome back to Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. We both work at the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline, the number one RE/MAX team in Pennsylvania since 2018. And we're talking all about health insurance. This to me is actually a lot like real estate, Harry, because it is unreasonable for consumers to understand what you actually do. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So Harry has worked with a lot of people on our team. You can get in touch with him. Here's his cell phone number, 484-554-4989. He's with U.S. Health Advisors. So talk a little bit about open enrollment, because I don't think a lot of people understand this. Give us the breakdown, because this is really like your time of year to shop for health insurance, right?
It is. Open enrollment runs from November 1st through January 15th. Now, with that being said, December 15th is the last date to want to change your existing plan.
Oh, interesting.
Obviously, the five-county region here of Philadelphia is what we're going to focus on. If you have Keystone HMO, if you have Personal Choice PPO, you've probably got an email or the letter already with your three choices for next year. If you do not make any changes, they will roll you right into the plan, pretty much similar to what you had this year. If you want to make a change, you have to make a change by December 15th.
Got it.
In order to be in effect by January 1st. It's obviously a busy time of year. Like we were talking earlier, we work all year long, but November 1st is when it really catches fire.
It is your spring market, if you will, Sarah, right?
Right. Just a few numbers here. The state a few weeks ago released their new rates, and on the individual market, there's a 6% statewide average increase, which in years past it has been more. I have seen double-digit rate increases. And on the small business market side, which it took quite a few years to catch up to the individual market, the small business average increase is 7.6. With the premiums. A couple of years ago, we saw a really big increase in the small business market, the 2 employee to 50 employee market. The individual market is the self-employed, the contractors, the people that pay for their own health insurance.
Okay.
One of the biggest misnomers I have on that is a person that pays for their own health insurance might not be self-employed, but they're still in the individual market. So a person going through a divorce, losing their spouse's coverage, or their partner's coverage. A 26-year-old that works at a restaurant, doesn't offer benefits, but is coming off his parents' plan. They're in the individual market now, okay? Mm-hmm. So just to kind of give you a little number stuff, get that out of the way with the state. There is multiple carriers at least one or more in 67 of the counties here in Pennsylvania. So, you know, you do have choice. Some of the rural counties, you only have one or two. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here in the five-county region, you have five. You have Ambetter, Oscar, Highmark, which joined the fold last year, Keystone and Independence, which are the two Blue Cross.
Okay.
Keystone being the HMO, Independence being the personal choice PPO. To me, when it comes to your carrier, it's about the network. It's about where you can go, okay? The Blue Cross around here is obviously huge. Let's not kid ourselves, okay? You know, they are the ones you see sponsoring the Phillies patch on their side. Huge network. Most, I would say 98%. That's not a hard number that I know off the top of my head, but I would hedge my bet toward that. You're going to be in network with a Keystone or a personal choice PPO. Highmark is another Blue Cross Blue Shield company. So they, they joined the fold. And when I said they joined the fold, they were always out in Berks County and West.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, they came in and wanted a piece of this market. So that's that right there. Kind of covers your choices. I didn't really allude to Ambetter and Oscar that much because they're smaller on the smaller side. I think when it comes to protecting you and your family, you want choice of where you can go.
So what's the benefit instead of like going on like the government website to talking to somebody like you? Because I think we get this question a lot, like, oh, I can do this on my own. And well, you're rolling your eyes because you do this all the time. So tell us a little bit more about where you can help somebody, because this is your health. It,
right.
It's important.
Right. I mean, I've thought about this before in conversations with you and Sarah. You know, what's the kind of biggest purchase is buying a house. Okay. And what do you want to do to protect that? You want to have insurance on the house. You want to have insurance on your health, insurance on your life. So where do they go? Why shouldn't they do it on their own? Just to kind of give a little sidetrack on that, I recently partnered with Dave McGee of McGee Insurance. Okay, Benefits That Matter. I can also be contacted at that website, benefitsthatmatter.com, is one of their trusted partners. He and I, we handle everything. When I say everything, he's credited with, you know, he can do penny.com. Penny.com mm-hmm. is the website that handles the Obamacare, healthcare.gov in the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Years ago, Pennsylvania took over their own exchange.
Okay.
They run it. That's why it's called penny.com. I have talked to so many people that have think they're signed up, but they're not signed up. I've talked to so many people that don't even know how to get the proper tax credit. Okay. That's very important. Okay. If you do or you don't qualify for a tax credit, if you do, go get it. I'm a firm believer. Go get that tax credit. I recently saw a video from one of our other agents out across, I think he's from Texas. There's a young girl that she makes $60,000 a year, and she has one child, and she can't afford it. She doesn't know she actually probably gets a tax credit.
Mm.
That's the problem. And that's why you can't go it alone. There's a lot of buttons to push. There's a lot of questions in that application that you need to know how to answer properly. Okay, need to know, hey, look, I need to have this information on hand at first. And I always say, look, go through an agent. Go through a broker. That's your middleman.
Mm-hmm.
Dave will be on hold at Blue Cross. I'll be on hold. That's always have somebody that's in your back pocket, okay? And that website was confusing when it came out years ago as healthcare.gov. I don't know if it's gotten any less more confusing, you know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, that right there in a nutshell. And people, it's frustrating over the years. I just want to know what my copay is. Well, you really don't buy health insurance for a $50 copay to see a doctor. You go get health insurance, in my opinion, to take care of the big stuff,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I don't have any deductible. Well, if you look at a Keystone Silver Proactive plan, which is the most popular plan that people get, okay, yeah, it says zero deductible, but also says $9,200 out of pocket.
Mm.
Ooh, then they start getting hit with a bill. Then you get hit with a bill. Mm-hmm. Why am I getting this bill? Well, that goes towards you out of pocket. Why does your deductible? That's why you need to go through someone like myself or Dave to better understand how your plan works.
Got it.
You have to know how your plan works. And that's why you really kind of want to stray away from going. Yeah, you can hit all the right buttons, give them your information, and you can be signed up. Do you know what you have?
Right.
If you don't know what you have, what are you buying?
Mm-hmm.
And you're spending $1,000 a month for your family of three or four, and you don't know how it works. And that's 12 grand a year. you know, you that's a big purchase.
It's a lot of money.
It's
yeah.
a lot of money to go in doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, so, you know, with that, like, I'm an independent contractor, right? So do you get health insurance through Eric's work?
Yeah.
So I think there's some people that I fell into that bucket a long time because my wife was a nurse. Then when she stopped working, like when you're self-employed, I think that's one of the more stressful things. And we hear this a lot from agents coming in. So what can you do to help like those like small business owners or self-employed people? Because that's where this gets really confusing.
It does. Just to touch on what you had just said, folks that are on their spouse's plan, I tell them to stay there. Well, we've got to, normally now their employer is only paying for the husband. Yeah, but 95% of the time you're on a much more comprehensive plan. Okay. And the number you're going to pay, you know, as you and I would pay and Sarah, as independent contractors is going to be much lower. So how can we help you guys? How can we help us? Being an independent contractor myself, there's more options out there. Okay. You know, I always say stress is shopping around. You know, we have a good friend says review before you renew, right? And I'm a firm believer in that. You know, review before you renew. And the thing is, there's other options out there that can help save these small business owners money. Not everybody has to have the same plan. Everybody's needs are different.
It's very true.
Our responsibility is to help you find the plan that fits your needs and your budget. And my first question has always been, since I started in this crazy business 20 years ago, what are you looking for? What's important to you? Why are you writing this check every month? And my responsibility and my job is to make sure you find a plan that fits your needs and your budget, and you know exactly how it works. And why do I get my cell phone number out? I got to drop off a claim form tomorrow morning to a farmer that I've written many, many years ago, and that's okay. So
I was just kidding about yourself.
I know you were. I know you were.
Where's the website?
I know you were. But yeah, websites, benefitsthatmatter.com, McGee Insurance, MAGEE Insurance. I recently partnered with him. So we're full circle. We can handle everybody, individuals, families, small businesses, you know, no employees to 50 employees. We can handle everybody. And it just brings it brought my career full circle.
Love it.
Which was great to hear. Great to have. So yeah. That's it's open enrollment. It's get it on. You know, everybody get back to work tomorrow. Okay, we're probably not going to know tonight, but yeah. You know.
I'm going to bed at the normal time I go to bed, so that's going to be a problem.
Right. I don't know how long I'll stay up and watch them repeat the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
So, Tom.
Should be interesting.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Harry,
great to see you.
BenefitsThatMatter.com. You want to look up McGee Insurance, MAGEE. You can call Harry right now, 484-554-4989. We're going to see how many phone calls he gets. You want to follow me or Sarah, you can go see Sarah on Instagram. It's at Ty_TyTime. You can follow me at TomTool3RD. And we're streaming live every single week. So if you got some value out of this, you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell for notifications. And if you want to talk about real estate, Sarah can help you. And you can schedule a call with her with the link in the comments. Catch you next week.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows. But the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by
your side. The following programming is sponsored by Thomas Tool III. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The way we treat animals affects all of us. Cruelty overseas led to a pandemic, killing 1 million people. Help us fight back and make a better world for animals and people by visiting AmericanHumane.org and signing our New Deal for Animals.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing 1 million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. To fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our New Deal for Animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world for all of us.